Hi, my name is Gargiola. This is the first episode on a series about computer programming languages. In this episode, I will start by discussing why you may want to learn a programming language. Then I will give an introduction about what programming languages are, which are the different types of programming languages, their history, and I will also give some pointers to resources which can be useful to get you started with programming. Okay, so let's get started. Why you may want to learn programming. If you consider yourself as a hacker and like having control of what your computer does, programming puts you on the creative side versus the consumer side. I will read here a section from Eric Reitman's How to Become a Hacker essay. This essay is available at http://catv.org/tilde-esr/faqs/hacker-how-to.html. Although a little bit old, it was written in 2001, this is a very interesting essay worth reading completely. Reitman lists the four basic hacking skills, which are 1. Learn how to program. 2. Get one of the open source Unisys and learn how to use it and run it. 3. Learn how to use the World Wide Web and write HTML. And 4. If you don't have functional English, learn it. Eric Reitman starts by saying that programming is, of course, the fundamental hacking skill. If you don't know any computer languages, he recommends starting with Python. It is cleanly designed, well documented, and relatively kind to beginners. Despite being a good first language, it is not a toy. It is very powerful and flexible, and well suited for large projects. Reitman continues by saying that he thinks it is probably best to learn C and Lisp first, and then maybe Java. I personally would recommend first Python, then C++, and finally Lisp. Reitman says that there is perhaps a more general point. If a language does too much for you, it may be simultaneously a good tool for production and a bad one for learning. It is not only languages that have this problem. Web application frameworks like Ruby on Rails, CakePHP, Django may make it too easy to reach a superficial sort of understanding that will leave you without resources when you have to tackle a hard problem or even just debug the solution to an easy one. Reitman recommends that if you get into serious programming, you will have to learn C, the core language of Unix. C++ is very close related to C. If you know one, learning the other will not be difficult. Neither language is a good one to try learning as your first, however. And actually, the more you can avoid programming in C, the more productive you will be. As Reitman puts it, C is very efficient and very sparing of your machine's resources. Unfortunately, C gets that efficiency by requiring you to do a lot of low-level management of resources, like memory. All that low-level code is complex and bug-prone, and will soak up huge amounts of your time on debugging. With today's machines as powerful as they are, this is usually a bad trade-off. It is smarter to use a language that uses machines' time less efficiently, but your time much more efficiently. Thus, Python. Reitman continues by writing, other languages of particular importance to hackers include Perl and Lisp. Perl is worth learning for practical reasons. It is very widely used for active web pages and system administration, so that even if you never write Perl, you should learn to read it. Many people use Perl in the way he suggests you should use Python, to avoid C programming on the jobs that don't require C's machine efficiency. You will need to be able to understand their code. In my personal opinion, Perl has been losing attraction towards PHP on the web and Python or Ruby on the systems administration side lately. Reitman says that Lisp is worth learning for a different reason, the profound enlightenment experience you will have when you finally get it. That experience will make you a better programmer for the rest of your days, even if you never actually use Lisp itself a lot. You can get some beginning experience with Lisp fairly easily by writing and modifying editing modes for the Emacs text editor or Scriptfoo plugins for the GIMP. He continues by saying that it's best actually to learn all five of Python, C, C++, Java, Perl, and Lisp. Besides being the most important hacking languages, they represent very different approaches to programming, and each will educate you in valuable ways. Raymond warns the wannabe hacker by saying, "Be aware that you won't reach the skill level of a hacker or even merely a programmer simply by accumulating languages. You need to learn how to think about programming problems in a general way, independent of any language. To be a real hacker, you need to get to the point where you can learn a new language in days by relating what's in the manual to what you already know. This means you should learn several very different languages." Raymond finally says that programming is a complex skill, and that using books and courses won't do it. Many, maybe most of the best hackers are self-taught. You can learn language features, bits of knowledge, as he says, from books. But the mindset that makes that knowledge into living skill can be learned only by practice and apprenticeship. What will do it is A, reading code, and B, writing code. He recommends to read Peter Norvig's essay, "Teach Yourself Programming in 10 Years. His recipe for programming success, it's worth careful attention. Let's continue with some definitions which are taken from Wikipedia. A programming language is an artificial language designed to communicate instructions to a machine, particularly a computer. Programming languages can be used to create programs that control the behavior of a machine and/or to express algorithms precisely. A programming language's surface form is known as its syntax. The term semantics refers to the meaning of the languages as opposed to their form, that is, their syntax. A type system of a language defines how a programming language classifies values and expressions into types, how it can manipulate those types, and how they interact. There are typed and untyped languages. A language is typed if the specification of every operation defines types of data to which the operation is applicable, with the implication that it's not applicable to other types. In contrast, an untyped language allows any operation to be performed on any data. There are also static and dynamic typing. In static typing, all expressions have their types determined prior to when the program is executed, typically at compile time. You can also distinguish weak and strong typing. Weak typing allows a value of one type to be treated as another, for example, treating a string as a number. Another interesting characteristic of a programming language is the availability of a standard library and a runtime system. Most programming languages have an associated core library, sometimes known as the standard library, especially if it is included as part of the published language standard, which is conventionally made available by all implementations of the language. Core libraries typically include definitions for commonly used algorithms, data structures, and mechanisms for input and output. Which are the different types or families of programming languages? Once again, I will just read some extracts from Wikipedia, from the Wikipedia page about categorical list of programming languages. The different categories of programming languages that I will list here are not exclusive. First of all, we should have to define what is a paradigm. A programming language paradigm is also known as a programming model, and it is an abstraction of a computer system. A programming language can support multiple paradigms. For example, programs written in C++ or Python can be purely procedural or purely object-oriented, or contain elements of both paradigms. Software designers and programmers decide how to use those paradigm elements. In object-oriented programming, programmers can think of a program as a collection of interacting objects, while in functional programming, a program can be thought of as a sequence of stateless function evaluations. When programming computers or systems with many processors, process-oriented programming allows programmers to think about applications as sets of concurrent processes acting upon logical shared data structures. Different programming languages advocate different programming paradigms. Some languages are designed to support one particular paradigm. Smalltalk, for example, supports object-oriented programming. Haskell supports functional programming. While other programming languages support multiple paradigms, such as C++, Java, Common Lisp, Scheme, Perl, Python, Ruby, etc. Many programming paradigms are as well known for what techniques they forbid as for what they enable. For instance, pure functional programming disallows the use of side effects, while structured programming disallows the use of the go-to statement. Partly for this reason, new paradigms are often regarded as doctrinaire or even rigid by those accustomed to earlier styles. Avoiding certain techniques can make it easier to prove theorems about the program's correctness or simply to understand its behavior. Imperative programming or procedural programming is a programming paradigm derived from structured programming based upon the concept of the procedure call. Example languages for imperative programming are C or Fortran. Functional programming. Functional programming is a programming paradigm that treats computation as the evaluation of mathematical functions and avoids states and mutable data. Examples of functional programming languages are Lisp and Haskell. Object-oriented programming, OOP, is a programming paradigm using objects. Objects are data structures consisting of data fields and methods together with their interactions. Programming techniques may include features such as data abstraction, encapsulation, messaging, modularity, polymorphism, and inheritance. Typical languages supporting object-oriented programming are Smalltalk, Java, C++, or Python. Declarative programming. Declarative programming is a programming paradigm that expresses the logic of a computation without describing its control flow. Examples of declarative programming languages are Prolog or SQL. Let's say some words about the implementation of programming languages. An implementation of a programming language provides a way to execute that program on one or more configurations of hardware and software. There are, broadly, two approaches to programming language implementation. Compilation and interpretation. It is generally possible to implement a language using either technique. The output of a compiler may be executed by hardware or a program called interpreter. In some implementations that make use of the interpreter approach, there is no distinct boundary between compiling and interpreting. For instance, some implementations of BASIC compile and then execute the source a line at a time. Programs that are executed directly on the hardware usually run faster than those that are interpreted in software. Examples of interpreted languages are Python, Ruby, or Bash. Now, again from Wikipedia, let's have a look at the history of programming languages. In the 1950s and 1960s, the first three modern programming languages whose descendants are still in widespread use today were designed. First, Fortran, which stands for Formula Translator, was invented in 1955 by John Backus. Then, in 1958, Lisp, the Lisp processor, was invented by John McCarthy. And then, in 1959, COBOL, the Common Business-Oriented Language, was created by the Short Range Committee, heavily influenced by Grace Hopper. Another milestone in the late 50s was the publication by a committee of American and European computer scientists of a new language for algorithms, the ALGOL 60 report. ALGOL stands for Algorithmic Language. This report consolidated many ideas circulating at the time and featured 2K language innovations. First, nested block structure. That is to say, code sequences and associated declarations could be grouped into blocks without having to be turned into separate, explicitly named procedures. And second, lexical scoping. A block could have its own private variables, procedures, and functions invisible to code outside that block. That is to say, information hiding. Another innovation related to this was in how the language was described. A mathematical exact notation, known as the Backus-Naur form, BNF, was used to describe the language's syntax. Nearly all subsequent programming languages have used a variant of the BNF to describe the context-free portion of their syntax. ALGOL 60 was particularly influential in the design of later languages, some of which soon became more popular. ALGOL's key ideas were continued, producing ALGOL 68. Some important languages that were developed in this period include AutoCode in 1952, IPL in 1954, which was a forerunner to Lisp, Flowmatic, which is a forerunner to COBOL in 1955, in 1957 Comtran, another forerunner to COBOL, APL in 1962, Simula in 1962 also, and Snowball also in 1962, CPL, a forerunner to C in 1963, BASIC in 1967. The period going from 1967 to 1978 could be considered as a period establishing fundamental paradigms. This period brought a major flowering of programming languages. Most of the major language paradigms now in use were invented in this period. Simula, invented in the late 60s by Niger and Dahl, as a superset of ALGOL 60, was the first language designed to support object-oriented programming. C, an early systems programming language, was developed by Dennis Ritchie and Ken Thompson at Bell Labs between 1969 and 1973. Smalltalk, in the mid-70s, provided a complete ground-up design of an object-oriented language. Prolog, designed in 1972 by Kolmerauer, Roussel and Kowalski, was the first logic programming language. ML built a polymorphic type system, invented by Robin Milner in 1973, on top of Lisp, pioneering statically typed functional programming languages. Each of these languages spawned an entire family of descendants, and most modern languages count at least one of them in their ancestry. The 60s and 70s also saw considerable debate over the merits of structured programming, which essentially meant programming without the go-to statement. Some important languages that were developed in this period include Logo in 1968, B, a forerunner to C in 1969, Pascal in 1970, Forth also in 1970, C, Smalltalk and Prolog in 1972, ML in 1973, Scheme in 1975, and SQL in 1978. SQL initially was only a query language, and it was later extended with programming constructs. The 1980s highlighted consolidation, modules, and performance. The 1980s were years of relative consolidation in imperative languages. Rather than inventing new paradigms, all of these movements elaborated upon ideas invented in the previous decade. C++ combined object-oriented and systems programming. The United States government standardized ADA, a systems programming language intended for use by defense contractors. In Japan and elsewhere, vast sums were spent investigating so-called fifth-generation programming languages that incorporated logic programming constructs. The functional languages community moved to standardize ML and Lisp. Research in Miranda, a functional language with lazy evaluation, began to take hold in this decade. One important trend in language design was an increased focus on programming for large-scale systems through the use of modules or large-scale organizational units of code. Modula, ADA, and ML all developed notable module systems in the 80s. Module systems were often wedded to generic programming constructs, generics being in essence parameterized modules. Although major new paradigms for imperative programming languages did not appear, many researchers expanded on the ideas of prior languages and adapted them to new contexts. The 80s also brought advances in programming language implementation. The RISC movement in computer architecture postulated that hardware should be designed for compilers rather than for human assembly programmers. Aided by processor speed improvements that enabled increasing for compilation techniques, the RISC movement sparked greater interest in compilation technology for high-level languages. Language technology continued along these lines well into the 90s. Some important languages that were developed in this period include 1980 C++, which was first called C with classes and the name change in July 1983, Objective-C in 1983, ADA in 1983, Common Lisp in 1984, Eiffel in 1985, Erlang in 86, Perl in 87, TCL in 88, Mathematica also in 88, and FL in 1989. The 90s were considered the Internet Age. The rapid growth of the Internet in the mid-90s was the next major historic event in programming languages. By opening up a radically new platform for computer systems, the Internet created an opportunity for new languages to be adopted. In particular, the Java programming language rose to popularity because of its early integration with the Netscape Navigator web browser, and various scripting languages achieved widespread use in developing customized applications for web servers. The 1990s saw no fundamental novelty in imperative languages, but much recombination and maturation of old ideas. This era began the spread of functional languages. A big driving philosophy was programmer productivity. Many rapid application development languages, RAD, emerged, which usually came with an IDE, garbage collection, and were descendants of older languages. All such languages were object-oriented. These included Object Pascal, Visual Basic, and Java. Java in particular received much attention. More radical and innovative than the RAD languages were the new scripting languages. These did not directly descend from other languages and featured new syntaxes and more liberal incorporation of features. Many consider these scripting languages to be more productive than even the RAD languages, but often because of choices that make small programs simpler but large programs more difficult to write and maintain. Nevertheless, scripting languages came to be the most prominent ones used in connection with the web. Some important languages that were developed in this period include Haskell in 1990, Python in 1991, as well as Visual Basic, Ruby in 1993, Lua also in 1993, CLOS in 1994, CLOS was a part of NC Common Lisp, Java in 1995, 1995 also saw the birth of Delphi, which was Object Pascal and JavaScript, as well as PHP. And what are the current trends in programming languages? Programming language evolution continues in both industry and research. Some of the current trends include constructs to support concurrent and distributed programming, mechanisms for adding security and reliability verification to the language, extended static checking, information flow control, static thread safety, alternative mechanisms for modularity, like mixins, delegates, aspects, etc. Component-oriented software development. Metaprogramming, that is, programs to write programs. Increased emphasis on distribution and mobility. Integration with databases. Also, open source as a developmental philosophy for languages, including the GNU compiler collection and recent languages such as Python, Ruby, and Squeak. Some important languages developed during this period include C# and Visual Basic .NET in 2001, F# in 2002, Groovy, Scala, Factor in 2003, Clojure in 2007, or Go in 2009. We could also include in all this list shell scripting. But I won't go into details about shell scripting. You can see HPR episode 45 if you are interested in more details about shell scripting. Let me finish by giving you some resources for learning to program. In the very easy category, you can have a look at the list of resources on Wikipedia. So you should go to the page list of educational programming languages on Wikipedia. You can also check the Python tutorial at docs.python.org/tutorial. This tutorial introduces the reader informally to the basic concepts and features of the Python language and system. It helps to have a Python interpreter handy for hands-on experience, but all examples are self-contained, so the tutorial can be read offline as well. If you already have some knowledge about programming, you may be interested in the book Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programs, which is available at mitpress.mit.edu/sicp. This book can be downloaded for free online. It uses the Scheme programming language for the examples, and there are also a set of video lectures which accompany the book. I will provide a link in the show notes. Okay, I think this is enough for this introductory episode to programming languages. In the next episode, we will start studying Python. Until then, you can get in touch with me by email at garjola@garjola.net. garjola@garjola.net. Garjola is spelled G-A-R-J-O-L-A. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.